I was in for a little surprise, and I'll share a little more throughout my talk. But the final thing, after some more serious things, my printer doesn't work, and our computers were down for a while, so I was not even sure I could email a talk somewhere, but I was able to do that, sent it to Ann last night, and then went and babysat for Dave, just came home, finished typing it, sent it this morning, got in my car early this morning with my bathrobe on, I was going to go to her house in my robe and get my final draft, and my battery was dead. And that never happens, and so I had to laugh. Finally, I laughed. I thought, Satan, you're not going to win. This is really funny, and I thought, nothing more can happen, but I was a little afraid to drive to church. And also, I was almost out of gas, and the guy from AAA said, you should let your car run for a while. I go, well, what if it runs out of gas? But it didn't. It's on that button, but I'm going to go right to ARCO when I'm done here. And my face. Then I got here, and the room wasn't set up at all. The PowerPoint wasn't fixed. The microphone did not work. And so all of us with this wonderful team started rallying. And you have a beautiful room, thanks to all the people. But that never has happened either. So, I mean, Satan is alive and well, and he must not like what's going on here. So, yes, here we go. So, we'll see how this goes. I'm going to be really glad to get it done. Anyway, we have had a wonderful study on Ephesians last fall, and we've had a long break, and we're happy to be back, and we're now to the last chapter of Ephesians. And for the first three chapters in Ephesians, Paul strongly reminded us and taught us of all the blessings we have as true believers. And then the second part, chapters 3 through 6, tell us how we should live out our Christian life. And I love John MacArthur's description of how we should live, and it's in your workbook, but I'm just going to repeat it here. And it says, we are to walk, and you can just see it in your books, in a manner worthy of our calling, in humility rather than pride, in unity rather than divisions, in the new self rather than the old, in love rather than lust, in light rather than darkness, in wisdom rather than foolishness, in the fullness of the Spirit rather than the drunkenness of wine, in mutual submission rather than self-serving independence. And different speakers spoke on all those subjects. I thought that was a great wrap-up of what we've studied. And when we are doing these things, living this kind of lifestyle, we can be absolutely certain that we will have spiritual warfare. If we're not doing that, Satan's not as interested in us. So at least I felt this week maybe I was doing something right. So we come to the passage today in chapter 6, and Paul starts out with the word, finally. And this is Paul's last words to us. And I think it's always important when someone is close to dying and they want to talk to you, you really want to hear those words, don't you, of your loved ones or whomever. And this is what Paul is going to say to us. No, let's just see. It works. Satan didn't win in the PowerPoint. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I love that. We have the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's like, I think, this is like a battle cry. I can hear a commander in chief telling his troops, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it's to all of us. Paul is using the plural in this passage. So when he says, you do these things, it's you, plural. It's addressed to the church. We all need to work together. And he tells us, put on the full armor of God, not just part of it. Paul was probably chained to a Roman guard in his cell as he was writing Ephesians. So he was very aware of their armor. And when fighting, they didn't want any chinks in their armor. And I think to make it more modern day, we have seen a lot of movies, I think, where they're sword fighting sometimes. And when one of the person gets the sword knocked out of his hand, it's like, oh, what's that person going to do? Or we've seen football games. We've seen a lot of those lately where a helmet might come off and you're worried. You want to say, oh, be careful. Don't let it hurt your head. In shows where there's police, they put on their bulletproof vest to go out, and you don't want them to forget that. Some old movies of the Civil War where the soldiers, the shoes were so old and moldy they could hardly walk. And other movies we've seen where guns, ready when they're right ready to fight, they misfire. Or more recently, we've seen when lightsabers get knocked out of someone's hand. Anyway, we've at least seen movies of all of these, haven't we? I know there's a lot about the Force that could be said in this this talk, isn't there? But I won't go into Star Wars. But it always gets us when something's broken or doesn't work or is missing in these battles. So Paul's giving us a picture of a Roman soldier with his full armor. And then he's going to tell us about each piece and what it represents and why it's vital to our battle. So there is somewhat what a Roman soldier would look like with all the pieces of armor. And these are some fun little ones on Mr. Bear or Mrs. Bear. She has a little bow. So it's us women fighting. We're soldiers too. Today, the armor looks much different, doesn't it? But it's still, they have their full armor and all the pieces that are important to fight the war. And we're in a war. So I want to, Paul repeats then the next verse, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand. And in this passage, there's three times it says stand. It's not passive. It's something that we do actively. And stand is a military term, which basically means, I love this, resist the enemy. Hold the position. Offer no surrender. And I think those are words that we can use sometimes. Why do we need that? So we can stand against the wiles of the devil. 1 Peter says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. And then here it is again, standing firm in the faith. Have you ever felt especially attacked by Satan and not even realized what he was doing? We had a really interesting experience quite a few years ago on a bike trip. There was a bunch of couples, Anne was on it, that we were in the San Juan Islands, and we had one day off, and we were on Orcas Island, and we all kind of separated, and without anyone else knowing, we were all having a really hard day. Some were sad, some actually cried, some were having conflict, and when we got together at dinner that night, we started sharing it, and we go, what's going on? And we found out that on Orcas Island, I don't understand this, but it's kind of the center for a new age thing where all the sort of things supposed to meet. And so it was really spiritual oppression, but we didn't know it, and when we recognized I could pray against it, it went away. But sometimes if we're not aware of our enemy, he can get us. So we want to be aware that he is alive and well. And verse 12 addresses that. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's a strong verse, one of the strongest verses talking about satanic and demonic activity. And I don't know if many years ago the book This Present Darkness by Peretti was really popular. Some of you read that. He really helped make me aware of the spiritual world of demons and angels, and I really liked it for that. Satan would like us to think of him as like this cartoon character, kind of funny, pretend, not very serious. But I just want to give a short review of who Satan really is. He is not like this. And I was going to put some pictures up of what he might be like, and Anne and I were looking at him. They were too spooky, so we won't put the pictures up. But he was once, as you probably know this, but we'll just review quickly, a chief angel, an anointed cherub he was called, Star of the Morning. But he rebelled against God. He tried to usurp God's power and glory. He was prideful, and he was thrown out of heaven. And he took one-third of the angels with him, and they became the demons that are in our world today. We see him first in the form of a serpent in the garden when he comes to Eve. We're so familiar with that story. We see him clearly in the temptations of Jesus, where it feels like he was almost a physical presence there. He's 52 times called Satan, which means the adversary, and 35 times called the devil, which means slanderer. So he is definitely a real enemy. Our greatest enemy then is not what we see in the world, which is bad enough, but it's what we can't see. And I love the movie War Room. Did many of you see that? It kind of really made it clear that the battle is a spiritual one, not just against husband and wife or whatever, and that prayer can be, things can be won with prayer. And I can't wait to hear Anne's talk next week on that. She will get into that. But in this passage, several powers are mentioned in the verse I just read, and they each begin with against each sentence. So against this. And MacArthur says in his commentary that each time he says against seems to represent a particular category of demonic activity and level of authority, which is interesting. Satan's forces of darkness are highly organized and structured for the most destructive warfare possible. That's pretty strong. We need to remember. It sort of reminded me of the Roman army. They did so well because they were so structured and organized. And it was fascinating to keep on reading, but our passage is not about that. So we're going to get into the armor of God. And as we do, I just want to say again, we have wonderful news. Christ defeated Satan at the cross. And there's no one believer of us anywhere that can't deal with Satan on the terms of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I love that. What he did for us on the cross defeated Satan. So, therefore, it says, action again. Put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything, to stand. Lots of stands. And Dave had a great sermon on Sunday, for those of you who were here, when he said, God is for us. And it reminds me of that so much. And a commentary summarized it this way. He said, that thing about once you've had your ground to keep standing summarizes the believer's victory after the battle. In ancient times, those still standing after the battle were the victors. And that particular thought really helped me as I was being so attacked this weekend. It came about in about four areas, some not so just normal life and some harder. The computer went down, the printer went down. We had that started an issue in our marriage and continued to some other really hard things. Had some leadership issues, had to practice tough love, and I kind of, at that point this weekend, in fact, Terry Lawson was so sweet, she said she noticed my face on Sunday, it was, I was sort of in the midst of it, and it helped me realize that after Satan's attacks, I am still standing, and I stand here today on the claim of Jesus Christ. We can have the victory. And I also reached out for help at that time and talked to some friends and asked them to pray for me and help me, encourage me. And when I was weak, they were strong. And so we need each other, and we need to be able to say, hey, I'm having a hard time. I need help. I found this quote helpful. It said, we know the outcome of the war, but individual battles can be lost if we have not done all. I thought that was an interesting perspective. We know the very end, but daily battles can be lost or won depending on if we fight Satan with the armor. So doing all is having each piece of armor ready for battle. So we'll start with the first one, the belt of truth. And the order of the pieces listed are the order that the soldiers actually put them on. I thought that was interesting. The belt would be put on, and they would be wearing loose tunics, so it would tighten it around so that the tunic like this wouldn't get in the way of their fighting. It was probably about 6 inches wide, made of leather, and it held together the clothing underneath, as well as holding the other pieces of armor, such as the breastplate and the sheath for the sword. So I thought that was interesting. So the belt was pretty important. Sorry. It is the foundation, I think, for the soldier's armor, just as truth is our foundation for the Christian life. I thought that was really interesting. Today, you know, there's so much stuff about relativity, and there's no real truth, and my truth is okay, and your truth is okay, which doesn't even make sense, but that's what our culture is believing. Our Christian faith believes that truth is found in Scripture and in Jesus Christ. We can have absolutes. We can believe the Bible is truth, and we can live by it. And that is really something I thought that most people don't have in our world today. It gives us confidence. And I love the verse in John that says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is freedom in knowing the truth. And so when Satan comes to try and deceive us, like he did Eve, by twisting God's word or telling half-truths, we can fight back with truth. And also another part of that is we need to be able to tell the truth to others. We have to be women of sincerity and honesty. There should be no part in our lives of lying. If we couldn't be absolutely sure of our truth, God and his word, and if weren't sure that Jesus Christ is truth, then there really would be little use for the rest of the armor. And even attempting to fight in a battle, our armor would fall apart without the truth. So this is a key part of our armor that I hadn't thought of in the same way before. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate was a large leather, big bronze or chainmail piece that protected the body from the neck to the thighs. Thought that's better than a bulletproof vest. Maybe some of our policemen should be wearing them, but they would look kind of funny running around with this big breastplate on, wouldn't they? It protects the vital organs, especially the heart. And this righteousness is what we have in Christ. Through his blood, he sees us as righteous. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we say that, but I thought, he sees me as righteous through him. And our enemy, Satan, would love us to believe that we aren't righteous. And he wants to make us feel maybe not acceptable or guilty or that we're not saved or not worthy. Really wants to discourage us. And we have the power, the truth, to stand up and say that we are righteous because of what God has done in Christ. Romans 3:23 says, this righteousness comes from faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe, to all of us. Our goal is also to live uprightly and with integrity, righteous character, desiring to please God, not tolerating sin in our lives. And that's how we can practice righteousness. Unholy living does not rob us of salvation, but it robs us of salvation's joys. I thought that was really insightful. Unholy living, unconfessed sin does that too. Okay, the next piece is the shoes or boots, the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers wore a leather half boot with open toes and heavily studded soles and leather straps which tied around the ankles and shins. Kind of interesting. Not like our not like our soldiers wear their big combat boots today. The studs worked kind of like football cleats and gave the soldiers good mobility when they were marching and then solid footing when they were fighting. According to John MacArthur, the gospel of peace mentioned here refers to the good news that believers are at peace with God because they have been reconciled through faith in Christ. But there's three things. So they're at peace. Not only are we at peace, but we have supernatural peace of God in circumstances that don't call for peace. And I know all of you have experienced that at some time or another, that supernatural peace that God gives. And the third thing is that we should be ready to share this peace with others because we have a peace that the world doesn't know. In all these pieces of armor, it's interesting to me to notice that there's two parts. It's our defensive weapon, but it's also things that we should be sharing with others. So the first three weapons were used for long-range preparations to get ready before the battle. They would put those three pieces on and never take them off in the battle. And the next three, the shield, the helmet, and the sword, they were kept in readiness for actual fighting. So that's why in verse 16 it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Forgot about that one. Satan's trying. The flaming darts are primarily temptations from Satan. First to Eve, saying you can't trust God. And MacArthur said every temptation directly or indirectly is a temptation to doubt and distrust God. I thought that was interesting. I'm trying to been thinking about that. The basis for all of them, he believes, is that. The shield was long, oblong shape, about 4 feet high by 2 feet, made of wood and leather, sometimes with an iron frame. And often they soaked their shields in water so that when the enemies, they would shoot these arrows that had some stuff on that would burn, and they would shoot flaming darts at the enemy that would either hit them or their tents or whatever where they were camped. And so the water shield would put out the flames. I thought that's a really interesting word picture. And Satan will do that. And I have a five-year-old grandson who's into fighting. And when I go over, he has one of his shields like this, and he goes, you want to fight me? Come and get me. And this weekend when I was in the midst of it, I had a pretend shield and I held it up to Satan and I said, okay, I've had it. You can't win. I'm not listening to you anymore. I know Jesus is stronger. So I really visually used the shield and it really helped. So I encourage you to do that. 1 John 5:4 says, whoever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. Our faith. Isn't that a great verse? 1 John 5:4. The only way to extinguish Satan's flaming arrows is to believe God. I also love the fact that the Roman shields, well, not there. Did I forget the shield? I just passed it, okay. They were connected, they had things to connect together. And so when they'd go out to battle, they can connect their shields and all walk out as an army. And I just like to look at all of you and think, we can be an army together to fight Satan. Isn't that a great visual? Okay, the helmet of salvation, there we are. And that's obviously to protect our head. It's made of leather and brass, and if it was made well, no sword could really pierce that helmet. And the dressed soldier would take his helmet and sword from the armor bearer. And then we always hear about the armor bearer, so they're carrying this helmet and sword to give to the soldier. And in the same way, we're to take this helmet from Jesus Christ himself. And I love that. One author puts it this way. The helmet is placed on our head by the nail-pierced hands of Christ at our conversion. Isn't that beautiful? I love that thought. Jesus put it there for us by his death. The helmet protects our mind, the control center of our body and life. And so often the battle is in the mind, isn't it? How often do we think about things that never even happen? Early morning, I can go down paths that make things much worse than reality. That's when I need to put on that helmet. Satan's blows are get us to question the assurance of our salvation. And question if God really loves us. We need the helmet for battle. But you know, not just for the battle, I realize, but sometimes after a great battle, you can get discouraged and get depressed even. Elijah had that experience after a great battle with Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. A low point or depression, and so we need to continually remember at the battle and afterwards that God has saved us and loved us. Don't give up when the battle's over. Colossians 6:9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. I love that verse. Okay, the last one, and I love this picture, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the only real offensive weapon in the armor. And it refers to the short sword that is used by the Roman army. And this was one of Rome's innovations. Before, they always had long swords, and it really helped them win a lot of battles. The sword has also a double edge, so it's ideal for cutting and thrusting. So it's kind of scary because you're really up close combat, and you're fighting it, and that's sometimes what we need to do with Satan. So God's word is both defensive and offense. It's our best weapon to stand our ground and to take the enemy. Jesus used it for sure against Satan when he was in the wilderness with him, and we can use it too. Not only that, it's a tool that the Holy Spirit uses to break the bondage of sin in people's lives, because I love this verse in Hebrews 4:12. It says it is alive and active, sharper than any two-double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of souls and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the heart, the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is powerful, and you can kind of just see that sword in God's word. I had a fun experience, it was a lot of years ago, but that it was such a clear example of God's word just piercing something. I was on crusade stuff and met a guy, and he asked what I did and told him who I worked for, and he said, oh, are you a nun or something? And I said, no, not exactly. And so I began to tell him about Jesus, and he goes, oh, I know about Jesus. He's kind of like the groundhog. He comes out of a shadow and goes back under, totally mocking. And so I said to him, I'm going to get my Bible, because this is what I did. I said, well, I've been reading about you in the Bible. Would you like to see where? And he goes, sure. So I read from 2 Peter, and it says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised. And started to go on, and his face just was like, I didn't mean to be mocking. I did not. And I was able to share the Lord with him, but it was so cool because it wasn't my words, but straight scripture that just got his heart. So anyway, I'd like to do that more often. And then just put it back to me. One day I was feeling, I was having a hard time with something, and I was being resentful, and I kind of found myself getting a little bitter. And I God led me to Hebrews 12:15 that says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." And it just went, wow. It hit my heart. Just it said it almost divided that, and I thought, that's exactly what I'm doing, and if I allow this, it's going to affect my family and other people. So I love how God's word can speak to us so clearly. It's powerful, but we need to know it, and that's why I'm glad you're here. And it says to take up the sword means to read it, meditate on it, memorize it, study it, share it, quote it, and love it. Diana, who's written a lot of the books we've read, said that. I love that. And when we do this, we will be equipped to protect ourselves from the enemy and also be prepared to bring God's word to others, to bring God's truth and healing. So my question this morning is, soldiers, are you ready? I had another thing that happened to me yesterday morning, not the car today, but something else. And I finally just yelled at Satan and I went, okay, have at it. I am ready for you. And I wanted to get my sword, where's my sword? And my shield, and said, come and get me. I was pretending like I was my grandson, because that's what he does. Today, when my car wouldn't work, I just laughed. I finally thought, this is just hysterical. So, to end today, what I started with, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Can we all say that together? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, that might be our battle cry today. Because of Christ, we will be left standing when the battle is over. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you won the victory at the cross for us. Thank you that we have your resurrection power to fight Satan. Help us be aware that there is a battle, Lord. Help us learn how to put this armor on to take advantage of what you've already given us and to go forward in your power and in your might. Thank you that we are winners with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.